This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
640, and we continue at show number 591. Kev, what are we doing for show number 600? All right, then. Pete Pistone did sports here at WGN off and on for many years. But in the meantime, he's always been Mr. NASCAR. He is our NASCAR guru. And as the new NASCAR season starts on Sunday, I had a chance to talk to Pete just before the show today. He's in the middle of his own SiriusXM show right now. And, you know, I asked Pete, by the way, have you been close to Pete lately?
Not lately, but
yeah, because he smells like 10W-40.
Does he?
Yeah, I don't know if it's like a new cologne. There's a Eau de Petit. It's a Richard Petty cologne that he was wearing for a while. But I love Pete, and I started off with the obvious question because he still looks pretty. Pete, how long have you been doing this?
Oh, my God, 20, 25 years. You know, I was born into the sport because my uncle was a driver, Steve, and so I've always been around it, but I've been working in radio and writing and TV for about 25 years now, and it never gets old. You're right. We start the year with the Super Bowl, the Daytona 500.
And the cool thing is when you meet Pete, he'll talk to you about anything. But he loves talking racing, and he smells like motor oil. I don't know if you know that about yourself, Pete. You've been around the garage so long, you got kind of a 10W-40 thing going on there.
Well, that's what attracted my wife, Michelle. We've been married 16 years now, Steve. She loves it.
And you're over your skis. You know that.
Yes, absolutely I am.
All right, so who's on the pole?
On the pole, a young driver named Chase Elliott. He is a rookie. First time a rookie has ever won the pole for the Daytona 500. And if the name Elliott is familiar to you, if you're someone who's been around NASCAR or casually follows NASCAR, Bill Elliott is Chase's dad. So we've got a second-generation driver on the pole. And it's the car that was on the pole last year when a guy by the name of Jeff Gordon drove that car. Jeff retired after last season. Chase took over, so he's running for Rookie of the Year and a pretty good way to start his rookie season. The top spot in the biggest race of the season here on Sunday.
Yeah, about instant legacy, too, for Jeff Gordon. You're going, who's going to replace Jeff Gordon? Maybe we already know.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Rick Hendrick is the guy that owns the team, and I talked to him actually yesterday, and I said, what are your expectations? And he actually said, listen, I really think that Chase Elliott can win a race, which doesn't happen very often. Rookies don't usually win races. And the beauty about that is now with this new system in NASCAR, when you win a race, you make the playoffs automatically. So we could see Chase Elliott go to victory lane and make the playoffs all in his first season. So we'll see what happens.
I like that system, too, by the way. You know, in golf, you win a tournament, you get into the Masters again. They got away from that for a few years, and I think it's an important thing, and I think it's a cool thing for the drivers, but also for the fans. Speaking of the drivers in these teams, there is a sort of complicated backstory to all of it, but it looks like is it a unionization, the charter system, the payouts have changed, or is that too complex to take on in a quick phone call?
Well, I'll just say that in the past, the NASCAR teams were always independent contractors, and they still are. So what they wound up doing is they wanted some equity. So NASCAR granted a charter system. And I guess the best way to make an analogy, Steve, would be the stick and ball sports, baseball, basketball, hockey, football. They're franchises, per se. So there are 36 of those. Those guys are there. Those teams are there week in and week out. But there's still four spots. So, you know, NASCAR was always built on if you can build a fast enough car to come down and race against the big boys and make the race, you can still do that. And so we had some interesting stories play out here last night with a couple of teams that made the 500, a guy named Michael McDowell, a guy named Robert Richardson. So you still have the underdog story, but I think this is a good foundation for the sport on the business model side.
Yeah, because it keeps you from being in a position where, for whatever reason, your company on your hood goes out of business and you got to go chase a sponsorship to pay the bills, right?
Well, and a lot of teams, sometimes they'll go out of business and they'll, you know, instead of having something tangible that they can get to another owner, like a franchise in another sport, they were selling their equipment for pennies on the dollar. So this was a huge step forward, I think, to give the sport a solid business foundation. And it's going to go on for, they made about a 10-year agreement. So that's good to know that these teams are going to be in that garage and on this racetrack for the next decade.
Danica Patrick, middle of the pack.
Middle of the pack, she had a tough night last night in her qualifying race. She's back again with the same team she was with last year, which is owned by Tony Stewart. They're looking for a little more speed down there. She's got a brand-new sponsor this year. She had been the GoDaddy sponsorship for so many years. They moved away from the sport. She picked up another sponsor by the name of Nature's Bakery. So, again, she's a marketing machine. I don't think she'll ever have to worry about that, Steve. But I think this is a year a lot of folks are looking at her to maybe to make a step or two forward. And where she finishes week in and week out.
She's got to win. Doesn't she have to win this year?
I think so. I mean, I think, and she's great, by the way. I mean, I'm a big fan. She's done a lot for the sport. She continues to do a lot for the sport. But I think she's got a first run up front. You know, you can't just win if you don't run in the top five and top ten on a weekly basis.
Right.
I think she needs to get there first. And if she does, I'll tell you this, places like Daytona, because of the draft and the restrictor plate racing, it's a little different. She's really good at that. I think she'll have a good chance. Might not have the best car right now, but I think she'll be in the pack and running near the front on Sunday.
What happened to Jimmy Johnson in qualifying?
Jimmy Johnson qualified well, but he was one of the drivers that got mixed up in one of the qualifying races last night, and so he's going to have to go to a backup car because he pretty much totaled the primary. And again, that's not that big of a deal because back in the day, you'd say backup car, that was like your second-best car. These teams come here now basically with two cars equally prepared right. In the case of something going wrong. So I wouldn't worry about Jimmy Johnson. Now, the bad news is you have to start at the rear of the field, so you got to take some time to get to the front, and I think sometimes if you're in the back – bad things could happen if something else breaks out on the racetrack. So I know there'll be some nervous early laps, I think, for Jimmy. But I think he'll also be able to get to the front pretty quickly.
And meanwhile, up front, you got a lot of the usual suspects, Kurt Busch, Kyle Busch, and others. I don't know, dude. I just think that as good a year as Dale Earnhardt Jr. had last year, I think this could be the year, maybe the best of his career. Do you have any buzz of that?
He won three times last year, and, yeah, there's a lot of buzz about that. He won one of the qualifying races last night. And I think that, you know, again, Daytona, he's always good here, but I really think that they're poised, once we get into those playoffs we just talked about, to go pretty far this year. And, you know, the window is closing a little bit on Junior. He's in his mid-40s. You know, we're seeing people in their late 40s retire, like Jeff Gordon, Tony Stewart. This is going to be his last year. I don't think Junior's going to retire anytime soon, but he does know that the chance to win a championship, you know, is starting to run out. So I think this might be one of his best chances to do that, and we'll see what happens.
At P. Pistone, P-P-I-S-T-O-N-E on social media. Who you picking?
I'm picking Dale Jr. And I'll tell you, they remodeled this place down here at Daytona. It's beautiful, Steve. By the way, $400 million project. If Dale Jr. wins, they'll probably have to remodel it again because I think the fans will tear down these new grandstands.
I'll go with Robert Richardson Jr. He qualified last in the field. Why not? I'll make a little money that way. And follow Pete and hear him where?
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio. We're on every morning from 6 to 10. That's channel 90 on your satellite dial, Monday through Friday.
I like Pete enough. It's okay if you leave me for a few minutes and go listen to him. You're the best, buddy.
I listen to both shows, Steve. I listen to you while I do my show. So you can do it.
You're the best. Enjoy the weekend, my friend. I know you will, and my best to your family.
Thanks, Steve. Talk to you soon.
941. Graham Rahal is here as we... spent some time this morning talking about Daytona this weekend. We're 100 days from the 100th running of the Indy 500. And Graham is part of you know, you point this out on your website. This could be the new way to do it in open wheel racing. This is a one-car team. No pressure, Graham.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
It's a little different being a single-car team, but it's great to be here today. And up in Chicago, my family's all from here, so... you know, it's fun to be up here. We're actually here promoting the Road America race, which is happening June 23rd to 26th up in Elkhart Lake, Wisconsin. But, you know, 100 days today from the Indy 500, the 100th running, and no other sporting events can match that. I think we were talking about last night. You maybe have, you know what, the Kentucky Derby,
yeah, the one,
Wimbledon.
Where the whole world is focused on that event on that day.
Yeah, it's a tremendous, tremendous event. And, you know, it's... really what started auto racing here in this country, you know, from many, many years ago, just as a proving ground to prove cars could be reliable enough to get 500 miles. So it's we're excited to be a part of it. It's also 30 years since my dad, Bobby, won the Indy 500 in 86.
Perfect timing for you to win.
It'd be more than perfect. It'd be pretty awesome.
Bobby's been in here several times, and the last time I talked to him about it, Dave was still doing the show.
Yeah.
Now that Letterman's retired, is he in the garage all the time telling you how to, you know, tune up the car?
How to do things? We see Dave quite a bit.
See him more then now?
Yeah, I don't know about more necessarily. Okay. Probably about the same. Hopefully this year, you know, he's told us he's going to make 5 or 6 events this year, but who knows, you know, with Dave and family. I mean, when you're doing the late show and you do it for that many years just repeatedly... you probably want to spend as much time at home as you can. I mean, the guy's work schedule was ridiculous. And
yeah, I can't imagine the grind of doing a one-hour talk show every day. Oh, my God, yeah. How does he do it?
Oh, he did. That's
We're here for 4 hours a day.
Hey, I'm telling you.
4 hours a day.
I'm telling you, that was heavy. He used to be, his demands by CBS were ridiculous. I mean, he'd come to the races and he'd have to leave. He had to be, you know, back in New York X amount of hours before the show, you know, 24, 48 hours before a show films. I mean,
how do you know he wasn't just tired of your dad? He just wanted to come back.
I think he'd rather hide at the racetrack, trust me. He loves it.
He does love it. And Bobby was always great about it, though, because there was no question that your dad was in charge.
I mean, dad's in charge. Dave, I would say Dave's role is pretty limited. You know,
he's a cheerleader. He's definitely, he writes checks and
he's
gets
definitely
it, right?
There. Well, we hope he doesn't write checks. That's not the goal of going racing. You know, we try to at least get our team owners to break even. But between my dad and a guy named Mike Lanigan, who's from the south side of Chicago, big businessman around here, those two are pretty much in charge. They run the team from a day-to-day sort of basis. Mike does a lot of the financial stuff. Dad does everything else. And, you know, Dave is kind of just, I guess you could say, a pretty face walking around, but it's not so
That's not so true, yeah. the cool thing about motorsports, and I brought this up to Pete, I think, this morning off the air, Pete Pistone from NASCAR and Open World Coverage, is there's such a family linkage to this. Did you ever consider doing anything else?
Not really. IndyCar racing was always my passion. You know, I grew up going to Indy, going to places like Road America, as I mentioned earlier, Mid-Ohio, where we won last year. I'm from Columbus, Ohio, so that was my home race. This was it for me. You know, IndyCar racing is all I ever wanted to do. Now, as a kid, my dad, you know, tried to convince me that golf was maybe a good way to go or something a little bit safer, but he didn't stand a chance, that's for sure.
Golf carts weren't fast enough
for him. I love cars, man, and so it's great to be able to do what we love. And obviously this year with the 100th is a huge anniversary of the event, and to be a part of it is spectacular. And I know they were saying that ticket sales are so strong right now. I think you know, the pre-sales are up over 30%, and we were talking this morning, I heard that they've sold more tickets already to this point than they sold for the Indy 500 all of last year.
How about that?
On race day. So the sales are up huge, and from Chicago right here, you might as well go down. It's not too far away.
No,
it's not
too far. Tell me about the Elkhart race.
Yeah, Elkhart's an awesome event. I don't know if you guys have been there, but it's just over 4 mile, probably the most beautiful racetrack you can go to in this country. Great weekend, June 23rd to the 26th. We're returning there with IndyCar. We had a couple years where we were away. Honestly, one of the most historic racetracks around this country, and also one of the best for families. I mean, the camping up there is a riot. That's what I grew up doing, going to the races, camping out with all my buddies and stuff. And so it's cool to be going back finally. I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, and can you imagine Graham growing up too, or his dad's? How many dads say to your kid, "No, drive faster."
It took a while to get him to even let me drive, to be honest.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
There was a lot of persuading. You'd think it'd be easy. It'd be, you know, he'd kind of let us in. But Dad always knew. He knew the pressures of this. You know, growing up as Bobby Rahal's son, you know, you have a lot of, there's some big shoes to fill, and he didn't really want me to get into it that quick, but. Finally, little persuasion, we got there.
You got brothers and sisters?
I do. I have, from the originals, as we call it, there's four of us, and then Dad got remarried and has two little sisters.
What's the age range?
Now.
Are you in the middle?
I'm the middle of the originals.
Yeah, of the originals.
But I guess I'm still the middle of the whole thing.
The
really.
Top half
I'm
of
close.
The Bradys.
Yeah, close.
Got it. I grew up around Watkins Glen, not too far from Watkins Glen, racing at the Glen. Okay, is there a way to describe to people the difference between Grand Prix racing and just all out?
Well, oval racing is
the difference in feel, obviously, it's a speed thing.
I mean, a lot of the Grand Prix, you know, sort of tracks, whether they be street courses, typically what we do like St. Petersburg, which is our first race, March 13th, or Long Beach, which has been going on 40 years or whatever, those sort of events, street circuits, right downtown, you bring sort of the party to the people. Huge events. Obviously, you guys know how rough it is driving around, you know, streets of Chicago. We drive on the same streets and go racing, you know, and so when you're sitting in an Indy car that sits an inch off the ground, the sensation of speed is very high. Everything goes by really quick. But on Grand Prix or road course style racing, typically, it's very demanding of the driver because you have to, you know, carry the car. There's so many things, so many shifts, and a lot of stuff that you're doing throughout a lap, and you have to do it repeatedly, you know, push on the limit at all times. Oval racing is much more of a consistent speed. It's a lot of fun if things are good. If they're not, it's terrible.
Not so much fun, yeah.
But to me, I grew up road racing. Watkins Glen, Road America, Mid Ohio, Cleveland Grand Prix, you know, places like that. Like, that's what I grew up doing, and I absolutely love it.
We have potholes, though, on Chicago.
Oh, he does
streets.
Too. There's
so
a point. There's a point at the Glen where you have to parallel park, get out, right? and get it back up to 180.
How much restraint do you actually have to use when you're in your regular car on your street?
You know, it's not that bad. I would say this. It's all. Well, first of all, like, a lot of people go fast on the streets because that's the only place they have to go fast. You know, for me, we can go to the racetrack and get your kicks out a little bit. But the hardest part is when we run at Indy for the 500, we practice every single day during the month of May. But then I go home and stay at my house, you know, on the north side of Indy every night. And when you leave and your eyes are adjusted to going 240, 250 miles an hour at Indy, and then you go get on the freeway at 60, you literally feel like you're not moving. And that is the hardest. That's the hardest transition because you're jumping out of one straight into the other. When we go to, like, St. Pete for the Grand Prix in a few weeks here, I don't drive a rental car. You know, we go to the race and we stay in the city, so I just walk around. That's pretty easy, you know. It's a whole different thing. But Indy can be a challenge.
I don't know how a driver would have any patience at all when everything in your life is about speed and your work.
I didn't say I had
patience about anything.
I didn't say I had patience.
But you're not a road rage guy. How could you be?
I mean, I try not. My wife would tell you that I have some road rage at times, but... You know, I don't understand, you know, people sitting in the fast lane going 5 miles an hour under the speed limit. I don't understand, you know, the fast lane. I mean, in Europe, you get a ticket for that. You know, if you go in the fast lane, you're just sitting there, not passing. And
so you'd like be the Autobahn.
I think driver's ed standards need to be raised a little bit in this country. Yeah.
Right, let's test these kids at 16. If you can handle it at 80 to 100, we'll let you drive.
Yeah, exactly.
And don't hurt anybody.
No, I didn't say you had to go 80 or 100, but... At least, you know, have the right lane protocol, you know?
You going to have kids?
Someday.
Not for a while. You going to encourage them to follow in your footsteps?
I hope not. I'm going to do the same as my dad. I think golf would be a great sport, you know?
Right.
Hey, make golf. A lot of money. Your worst injury is getting hit by a stray leaf or something that's falling off a tree.
Oh, please. It's very, very dangerous. Golf, man.
You know, I'd,
more people are killed every year in golf than any sport. I don't know if you know that or not.
So, who knows? It's going to be a challenge because my wife's in racing too and drag racing. And so between her and I, it's going to be to keep kids out of it will be tough for sure.
The Road America event, again, if people want to get tickets to that, best place to go?
RoadAmerica.com. And then if you're looking at coming to, and that's June 23rd to the 26th. Again, I go there with the family. It's a great family weekend. Camp out, have fun. Be a part of it. Walk around. See all the cars. There's plenty of racing action. You're not just watching IndyCar. There'll be a lot of other stuff to be there and to see. And then Indy is IMS.com, and you can get tickets. But hurry up, because tickets for the Indy 500 for the 100th running are going quick.
Because we're pals, can I stay with you if I come down?
At Indy?
No, at your house.
At Indy?
Yeah,
in Indy.
In Indy, yeah.
You might have to flip a coin with my mom to see who gets a spare room, you know? She fights pretty hard. And all my buddies just sleep on the floor in the basement. I got like 15 kids that sleep on the pool table, wherever you can find
a place to lay down. I don't feel like Graham's saying yes to me.
I don't think I am either. Hey, you know, one of our sponsors is Hyatt. So you can we can help you get a room at the Hyatt.
And by the way, if Steve
Does Cochran, that help?
If Steve Cochran says Graham Rahal's name at the front desk, regular price.
Right. Yeah.
Regular price.
No, plus 10%.
Plus
10. Got to make a little.
Plus 10 for a limited time only. Yeah. Well, stay safe, man. I got a great feeling about you. Listen, you had a great year last year.
Thank you.
I got a great feeling about you cranking it up again this year. But, man, how much fun would that be? Not too much pressure.
Not too much.
It's just another day at the track.
It just sets.
But just go win it, will you?
It just sets the record for the next 100 years. You know, it sets the standard for what's going to come in the Indy 500 for the next 100 years, just as Ray Haroon did in 1911. So,
what's the best advice you? I'll leave you with this. What's the best advice you get when you go to the track? Do you have like a superstitious thing you do? Because you know what I'd say to you, just go have fun.
No, I mean it's you have to have fun. I mean, the best advice Dad ever gave me was he said I don't care what you do, if you want to be in racing or you know it really doesn't matter, but you need to enjoy what you do. And people say, well, that's all you've ever. But the truth is, it's so intense. In the racing world, it demands so much of your time and constantly flying around and traveling and working and stuff. You have to enjoy it. And if you don't, it's not going to be the right world for you.
Well, I hope it's a great year, and I think it's going
to
be.
Thank you very much.
Nice to see you, man.
You too.
GrahamRahal.com. What about its social? At Graham Rahal?
Everything's at Graham Rahal on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, all that good stuff.
All that good stuff. All right. Thanks, buddy.
Thank you, guys.
Nice to see you again.